بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to the College Muslim. My name is Talha Rafiq and along with my close friend and co-host Badr al-Din Muhammad, we host this podcast, The College Muslim. Our goal is to highlight and show the experience high school and college students go through while growing up Muslim in a primarily non-Muslim society. We are not here to give you Islamic advice or tell you how to live your life as Muslims. Instead, we're here to share our story and through discussion show how we navigated many of the struggles and obstacles we faced in our lives in the hopes that it benefits you all. Both Badr al-Din and I are currently students at USC studying quantitative biology, and between the both of us, we have attended both private and public schools, giving us a wide range of experiences. We also hope to showcase many other experiences by bringing on guests on various episodes.
Lastly, we are not sheikhs, muftis, or scholars, and while we do have a rudimentary Islamic education and are continuously learning about Islam, everything we say here is purely from our experiences and should not be listened to with the pretense that we are Islamic scholars. However, with that said, we do take responsibility for what we say, and if any of y'all have any questions, you can always feel free to reach out to us at any of our social media platforms. So with that said, let's begin today's episode, and inshallah, God willing, we, along with you, will continue to grow as Muslims.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to season 4, episode 3 of The College Muslim. Dude, the beginning is so awkward every time. But today, Saeed and I will be discussing a topic that we think is particularly beneficial to students. At least it was beneficial to me when I started reflecting on it more, which is essentially being careful about word choice. And we can break this into a couple components, but we're going to address at least two of the following things. First, replacing, for example, like harsh language or curse words with language that reminds us the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or maybe the remembrance, but sometimes just lighter words that are like pleasant to the tongue versus words that are mm-hmm. harsh to the tongue. And the second thing we're going to kind of discuss is more of like a positive attitude shift, and we'll discuss how that ties in with Islam too. Like, for example, like what one of the things I was thinking about was how like people usually say like, oh, I'm gonna fail this exam, and you know, I've been guilty of that too. Like literally this last exam cycle, I was like, dude, I'm not gonna do well. Yeah. And turning that into more of like Allahu Alam, like Allah knows best, like whatever's happening is gonna happen, it's gonna be in Allah's control. So even if you don't feel like being like super, you know, go happy, and I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, super positive, like even if you don't feel like being super positive, at the least you're like confident in what's going to happen and your language is confident because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really the one in control. So those are the two things we're definitely gonna address. Maybe something else will come up while we talk, but so the first thing we're gonna start with is replacing harsh language with softer and less, let's just say, haram language.
Yeah.
So you can start there.
Okay.
I can pick it off first if you want me to.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So what I was referencing to directly was really the switch of using curse language, like the S word, the F word, B word, whatever word, whatever letter you want to say, mm-hmm. and replacing that with words like inshallah, alhamdulillah. I barely use Allahu Akbar like on a daily basis. Yeah. But I mean, I guess you can replace it with that if the need arises, or subhanAllah, especially when you see something beautiful. And I was talking to my brother about this morning or yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how when people see something like really beautiful, like a sunset or something, sometimes they're just like, oh, like
wow.
Oh, wow. Or like, yeah. In some cases, the F word, right? Or something,
yeah.
like, now you're not
supposed
to. Yeah. Sunset, you're like, oh, you know what I mean? So, oh, bleep. I'm just going to write bleep.
Yeah.
But they say that. Whereas we are supposed to say subhanAllah. And what happened when I started adopting that, because, you know, I had to change that about my habits too, was my appreciation for what, for example, I'm going to use a sunset example because this is a really direct example, mm-hmm. is my appreciation for the sunset went up. Like,
yeah.
it's almost like the language was building the experience rather than the language reacting to the experience as mm-hmm. well. So that was a key point. But the reason I want to start with that is cussing is and harsh language is a very, very common thing Mm-hmm. Like too common. Like it's absurdly common. And it's not seen as a bad thing.
Yeah. Because it starts very, very, very early.
Yeah.
I remember like literally, I think it was like first grade or second grade when I first came to America. This kid was like saying like, hey, you got to say this. And I'm like, what does this mean? Because I barely knew English at the time. And like I learned it was like a very bad word because I said it to like one of my teachers on accident. She's like, you can't say that. So it's something that starts off very, very young. And like kids don't really understand it when it first happens. Mm-hmm. And then it just becomes something normal.
Mm-hmm.
So
I hope that like people are like justifying it.
Yeah.
Like there's even like scientific research as to how it makes you, how it's good for you, quote unquote. And like when I looked at like that research article, I realized what it really was when you say the curse word, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
But we don't do things based on if they make us feel good.
Yeah.
Like that's not what Islam is all about.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a lot of things that make us feel good, but you're not supposed to
exactly,
do it.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, but the justification has become, at least from a non-Islamic point of view, is, you know, it releases certain like chemicals and neurotransmitters that will make your brain like dopamine highs, essentially. Mm. Right. And so now we have like, you not only have people like normalizing it, but you have people encouraging it.
Yeah.
Like it's gone to that point.
Yeah.
So, so let's talk about experience. So I guess my first experience, high school, definitely sports teams, playing sports. You just say it naturally.
Yeah. Like
right?
If someone messes up or like you always go off on someone.
Someone.
Especially your coaches too.
Yeah.
Like my coaches, like especially in football, they had the craziest mouth. So it is something that became normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the first time you heard someone say like subhanallah or alhamdulillah in their speech, like continuously, not like a khutbah?
Oh, just like one
bro,
of
like
us
when,
like
when we talk, right?
Dude, I was probably like when I probably started coming to the MSU like last semester, I think that was one of the first times like someone in normal speech would use it, and it was mind-blowing.
That's crazy.
Because like for me, like it was something that I would say like normally in my speech, but only with my mom. It's like when I'm on the phone with my mom, like, oh, alhamdulillah, I did good on my test, or like, subhanallah, the sun was so beautiful. But it was only something I really did with my mom.
So it was case sensitive.
Yeah, it was very case sensitive. So I never really did it outside of that with friends. But whenever I was able to like find you guys or like new friends in the MSU, and then people started using like subhanallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, it kind of expanded that for me. And that was something that I liked a lot because it kind of expanded that from just my mom to and then it also increases your remembrance and also ta'ala when you do that.
Did it, I mean, like for me too, like it wasn't like, but the thing is when I just remembrance, for example, let's talk about like that part.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was remembrance, but it also made me feel better on a daily.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that was a key point of like the mental shift that I started happening. It wasn't just happening because like I intentionally made that choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a part of it. But once I did it, there was like an air of like calmness and like tranquility.
Yeah. I think the biggest one for me is probably alhamdulillah. Like even though I was saying like with my mom on the phone or something like that, I wasn't really saying it on a normal basis, but like now, like I don't know, I have an exam and I come and talk to you after and you're like, how'd it go? I'm just alhamdulillah. Like that's all I have to say. Like think Allah, no matter what it turned out.
Mm.
No matter what happens, alhamdulillah, like I'm here at USC, I'm majoring in whatever I'm majoring in, like it doesn't, at the end of the day, you just gotta thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's like a big mindset change for me compared to like I'd say earlier in life, if like let's say a bad exam happened, I'd be like, dang, like this sucks.
Bleep,
but like
bleep bleep.
Yeah,
bleep,
yeah, yeah. Bleep. Like just throw everything word out. But like now, like let's say an exam went bad, like alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Khalas, like there's nothing you can do about it at this point. And that's I feel like a part of tawakkul. In a sense, because I feel like that was a very hard, not hard, but like one of the hardest things for me to kind of pick up was tawakkul in terms of school. Because sometimes in school when you do bad, you're like, oh, like now like I can't get into this college I want to get into or get into like something that you, a job that maybe in the future because I got a bad grade. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's you just have to have tawakkul on subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't want you to have that good grade for some reason.
That's and when you say those and when you understand that, you realize that that's where it ends. Like if you like for example, like if you say the cuss words ready, it compounds. First you start being like, okay, that exam went terrible. Mm-hmm. And you're like, dude, that teacher sucks. And then it compounds, right? Like it builds on each other and you don't really stop and you don't really forget about it.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't move on. But when you say alhamdulillah, like it is what it is. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dictated how it was meant to be. You're able to process it, you're able to understand it, you're able to close off that negative feeling per se, because it's okay to, I mean, you're not gonna be able to control like the feeling itself. Like you're gonna feel bad if you don't do well on a test. Like that's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
But it's how you react to it, right? So in that case, you're like, you felt bad, you reacted to it with this Islamic, you know, perspective and like stability. And then after that, I'm just like, next thing is like, start with the next thing. Yeah. Like
something that like blew my mind, not like blew my mind, but it's like something that's crazy to think about. Let's say you had an exam and you did like poor on it, like you didn't do great.
Mm.
And maybe it did affect you in a way that you didn't get into, let's say talk about med school.
Mm.
Like you didn't get into the top med school. We'll just say because of this class.
Okay.
But like you get into a lower med school, but this lower med school allows you to meet someone that's great for you, like maybe a crazy business partner, or like maybe your wife, you meet her at this mosque or something, like
someone who brings you closer to Islam,
a bigger Muslim community, just because you went to that to that med school. And if you didn't do bad in that class or bad in that thing, then you wouldn't have gotten there. I'm not saying like do terrible in all your classes,
but I'm
saying like if you put your best foot forward and it still ends in a bad, let's say like a poor grade or something like that, don't be like, oh, my life is over now, or like, it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah,
and that's just the biggest thing I feel like in tawakkul.
I had to learn that it was still the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Like people, I never understood. I used to think when things got rejected, it was like it was a rejection, but it's not really a rejection. It's just another way of guidance.
Yeah.
Right? And that stands true for USC. I mean, I'm sure USC is a top school for a lot of people, but there's plenty of kids here, at least in our MSA, who would probably apply to schools that were better than USC.
Yeah.
But they got rejected.
Yeah.
And the time being, they like might have been like a little bit like angry that, okay, like I tried so hard in high school,
yeah,
and like I was shooting for that school and I didn't get into any of these like amazing schools.
Yeah.
And USC is a good school, but like that wasn't my top choice.
Yeah, I was personally like someone that was one of those people, like in high school I was like grinding 24/7, and then alhamdulillah, like I got into USC. I was so happy when I got into USC. Mm-hmm. But then there was like these other colleges and I was like, oh, like this sucks, but like literally, I think if I went anywhere else, like, my life would have been so completely different.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy I ended up here. Like,
yeah.
I can't ever, like, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for that.
Like, he guides who he wills, and those who, like, he doesn't will to be guided will stay unguided.
Exactly.
So, it's like, if you're one of the people who makes dua, and you're sincere, and you're a true Muslim, he's guiding you.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you get what you're asking for or not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's the, in terms of schooling, because this is, like, a college kind of podcast.
Mm.
I think for everything, my biggest advice would be for something that I learned recently is just accepting whatever happens. If you put your best foot forward, whether it's great or not, accepting that. So let's leeway back into the wording. I think another thing was whenever I first came to the MSU, there was a certain person that would call me out on like certain verbal usages that I would have. And for me, when it first happened, I was like, oh, like, I'm sorry. Like, I would say I'm sorry to the person, not because, like, astaghfirullah, not because, like, I was thinking of, oh, I shouldn't be saying this word. I shouldn't be saying this, like, this person would call me out and be like, hey, don't say that. And at first, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I shouldn't say that. But then as it happened more, and then I stopped saying the words when I was around this person, it made me think, like, okay, when I stop saying these words, actually, like, I feel better. Like, and my like, words that I use are better. I get across in a more, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, you don't feel bad about, like, talking sometimes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that started to translate outside of just this person, like, when I was around this person. And I started thinking, like, with the Rasulullah, whenever he, like, talked with people, what was the verbiage that he used? And I was like, it's definitely not like
those words.
Yeah, those words. So I feel like that's something that also helped me a lot, is having someone kind of hold me accountable at the beginning until I was able to hold myself accountable. And that's something I'm very grateful for that person for doing, because it was kind of like a push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, same thing happened to me. Same person too.
Like
it's pretty, everyone knows what we're talking about. But like, it's almost like when you're apologetic for an action. Because the thing is, you usually do that unapologetically. When people use cuss words, they do it unapologetically.
Yeah.
Right? When you start using it and people do call you out on it, then you become apologetic, at least to the people. If you're, you know, a considerate human being,
yeah,
then you're going to be apologetic to the people who are calling you out on it.
Yeah.
But that automatically starts retraining you as well. Because yeah. all of a sudden you're sorry for saying a word.
And then you'll be like, then, inshallah,
yeah.
you'll be sorry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, eventually.
Like, not that person. Yeah, like, yeah. on your own. Then you'll be like, oh, yeah. shoot, like, I shouldn't say this word because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching
me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so that starts with the whole, like, replacing your cuss words with, like, lighter words. And I also mean, like, harsh words. Like, it doesn't have to be a bad word.
Yeah.
I just think, like, harsh language in general.
Yeah.
If you start replacing that with softer language, more kind language, like, saying things that, like, a lot of people say things that they don't really mean, mm-hmm. right? And that comes through, like, harsh language as well. And I've been guilty of this as well, right? This is something I still work on.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like, language, if it comes out, like, in a harsh manner, there can be repercussions for it. Whereas if you choose to be using software, let me give you an example. Any kind of language that deals with, like, let's talk about, like, in, like, a friend group or scenario like that, mm-hmm. sorts, right? Where you're going to, like, talk about someone else. If the language is harsh,
mm-hmm.
it's essentially backbiting. Like, yeah. if it can get to that point, yeah. right? Even if you never intended to get to that point, but it yeah. can get to that point. Whereas if you chose a language that is softer, for example, if someone's struggling with something, rather than saying, if you have to say something,
mm-hmm.
but if you have to say something, then rather than saying, oh, dude, that person is still doing this or that.
I get what your point is.
Then, yeah, that then instead you could be saying, you know, like, dude, I see them struggling with that. Like,
do you think, basically, how do we talk to them? I think them? What basically you're trying to say is kind of present, if you're going to talk about other people, also present them in, like, a manner that you'd want yourself to be presented. Yeah,
exactly.
In. Yeah.
So maybe appreciate it. If you see someone struggling with something to get better at something, rather than say, get on them about, like, oh, like, this guy's doing this or this girl's doing this, be like, oh, that guy's working on it, that girl's working on it. Let's see, like, how can we help them, yeah. right? So now the conversation, rather than goes to backbiting, goes, if it needs to happen away from them, like, mm-hmm. if it's, like, without them in present, if that conversation is happening, if you can direct that conversation in that direction, either the conversation will naturally end or it'll be actually become a productive conversation.
Yeah.
Right? And it's better, more often than not, if you don't know if that's going to be possible, just not speak, but sometimes people have to. So at first we can retrain the language that we use,
mm-hmm.
and then get to the point where we're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't even be talking about this in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? But so softer language in general, as yeah. well as...
I think another thing, because we were talking about sports earlier with language, I think another thing that I learned a lot from sports is controlling your emotions.
Mm.
Because if you are like a very, because I was a very jumpy person, especially in basketball. Mm. Like if anyone did
any... Jumpy person in basketball.
Yeah. Because you jump in basketball. No, I meant like if someone like fouled me, I get so mad.
Right.
Like
right.
off the bat. Like I mean like a dumb
foul. I mean, we still know someone like that.
Yeah, we do. But... the thing is, like, with that, like, I'd get so mad, and I'd be like, for what reason? Like, after the game, I'd be like, why did I get so mad? Like, and then maybe, like, I'd go apologize to them and be like, I'm sorry, like, I don't know why I said that. But I feel like if you, like, something that I was able to work on, I mean, I still haven't perfected it. Sometimes, you know, like, you slip up.
You let it out, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if it's, like, a habit of the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But something that makes me feel good, like, now is, like, let's say something does happen. And then I like control myself. I'm like, astaghfirullah. Like, God, that's so annoying. But I just keep it to myself, astaghfirullah.
Yeah.
You feel good in a way because you contained the anger and you didn't hurt someone else. Because for me, like, I would I would feel so bad. Like, I don't know if that person actually got hurt. Like, it's at the end of the day, we're all playing basketball. We all say stuff. I don't know if that person got hurt or not, but making me feel bad.
Yeah.
And now, like, I feel like if you keep it into myself, or whenever like someone does something and I'll be like, hey man, like I appreciate you like for playing like safe, but like let's I don't know, like approaching it in a more calm way, I feel like. And that's also another way how we can approach language is also thinking.
We know those words are evil, so I mean if you let it out, it's still letting evil out in the world regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
So that's why the residual effect of holding it in is good, because you didn't let the evil out into the world.
Yeah.
It's because you realize you actually did some good in some regard.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that was the first thing I wanted to address. Second thing was, what was the second thing?
Second thing was the exams thing.
Oh, yeah. Like this pessimistic attitude towards,
yeah,
like using your language in a pessimistic manner.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of ties into that same thing. Like it kind of ties into the first argument as well. But like, specifically, the main topic of the pessimism is just again, the compounding effect. That was the main thing I wanted to address about that pessimistic attitude, was like, you, if you say the wrong words, the evil words, the words that don't have any barakah in them, essentially, if you say those words, it's going to build that direction,
yeah,
right? It's going to build in that aspect of mindset and thinking and life, etc.,
yeah,
right? But use the words of God in remembrance, it's going to build in that direction. It will impact your salah. Like, yeah, for example, on a daily basis, if you're restricting yourself from those words, it will eventually trickle down into your salah, yeah, without a doubt. People usually look at it the other way. Like, they're like, hey, if you do salah and then you do your five prayers and you do dhikr, it'll help in another regard. And that's true.
Yeah.
But if you do it in this regard too, it will help it. It's vice versa. It, yeah, goes both ways.
I, one time, I think one of this was like, I heard this from one of my cousins when I went home. He was talking about like the Quran and like bad speech and foul speech, and he was saying like, how do you expect to like recite the Quran if you want to memorize the Quran, and you're like saying bad words? Mm. Like, imagine like saying a bad word or evil word, and then like 10 minutes later going and reciting the words of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
Mm.
And that's like something that kind of blew my mind. I was like, you know, he's actually so right about that. Like, imagine saying something like very foul and then going right after and like speaking the words of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
Bro, I had a friend who used to not be like religious at all. Like, this guy was like a complete opposite. And now he's back. Like, he like definitely reads the Quran and like he's very on top of it. But he said when he first started reading the Quran more often, he actually felt sick to the stomach. Like, he would like throw up. And the reason why was because he used to use like hard language, like the F word, right? I hope everyone knows what I'm referencing to. I'm not going to say it, but he used to use the F word. But when he started reading the Quran, there's a couple places in the Quran where, like in Arabic, the word sounds like the F word.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't want to say it, but like, I don't want to recite the Quran and people start thinking about it. But the point is, like, this guy, like, his brain was so centered on the curse words and the bad words and everything that was like toxic and disgusting, that like everywhere he looked, he saw it.
That's crazy.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when he starts changing it, he realized how ingrained it was in his head, that when he was even reading the Quran, and that, I mean, the words in Arabic, it doesn't have the same meaning whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like the letters happen to like match up. And then when you pronounce it, it sounds a bit like those other words.
Yeah.
But his brain couldn't unhear it.
That's crazy.
Right? And so it like impacts every aspect of your life. Like, if you think that, okay, so that happened with the Quran. What if that's happening with you at school? What if that's happening with the way that it's going to impact like what you're visually like allowing yourself to look at?
I think the worst thing is if you start like, you know, when like your thought, if you start thinking in cuss words, I feel like that's.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
That's where it that's gets what really that was. Bad.
Right?
Because I remember at one point, just like when you think about that and you're just like, that's crazy. Like, you start thinking how you speak.
Yeah.
And so if you like clear up your language, you also clear up your mind.
Because
then you won't be thinking in that way. So if you start replacing words, like if you're mad, you're being astaghfirullah. If you see something beautiful, instead of saying like the F word or like the D word, you say like subhanallah. So now whenever in your head, when you see something, you'll be like subhanallah or astaghfirullah. So it changes out what your thoughts are with something more positive.
Yeah.
And if you are thinking inside your head with more positive thoughts, you're going to be a more happy person.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking in a more negative connotation or something, because a lot of cuss words are with a negative connotation. Like, something bad happens, almost, you say cuss word.
Almost all of them.
But whenever like something good happens, like let's say you get a good like grade on your score, you're not going to be like F word.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh my goodness, like I'm so. Yeah. Yeah. So like, That's what also something I realized is like whenever you say cuss words, a lot of time it's in a negative connotation.
Yeah.
So if you block those out, and every time something negative happens, you say something positive.
Yeah.
Even if we say like, even if you're not at the step in your path to replace it with astaghfirullah subhanallah, at least replace it with something like, if you get mad, instead of saying the F word, you'd be like, oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man is better than like the F word.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And then it's a gradual step that you can take.
Yeah. And actually you can do that by finding people who will keep you accountable. That's the easiest way.
Yeah.
Is surrounding yourself by people who don't use them.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you still use it, then telling them, hey, I'm actually trying to stop this. I know I still do, but don't push me away just because I do.
Yeah.
Like, you can say that word for word, like to people who you want to be friends with, who you know, you're like, hey, I cuss every time I do it, can you just like remind me? Yeah. And they will.
And I had a conversation with someone before about like cussing.
Mm.
And he told me, he was like, this is a very common thing in my language. And he's like, this is just part of like my culture.
Mm.
He's like, it's just how I talk. He's like, whenever I say it, like these bad words, I don't mean it in a negative connotation. Like, I don't mean it to put anyone down. I don't mean it to like ruin kind of like any atmosphere or anything like that. It's just how I've been always talking my whole life. It's like my parents use cuss words, my grandparents use cuss words. And I think that's where it's like hard is if your parents or someone like an older figure uses cuss words. But I feel like at that point, you kind of have to detach yourself, which is the hardest way. Or like a hard thing is detaching yourself and trying to hold yourself accountable. But again, if you have friends around you that are able to hold you accountable, that's the honestly the best way.
The key thing. Yeah. The key actionable thing, right?
Yeah.
So I was going to say something, but I completely blanked out. Oh, it's kind of like the same thing with music.
Yeah.
Right? Like I heard, like this is another story. I'm sure everyone's heard this story. At least on, they've seen it on TikTok for at least. But it's the whole thing about where like, there's like a person and well, if he listens to music more than he does, like if that's always on his mind, if that's what he enjoys, if that's where his like brain goes, then like there's a story about like how there's a man on his deathbed and they're trying to get him to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And he just muttered lyrics.
That's crazy.
Right? So wow. it's like imagine you're, you know, you're driving, like, astaghfirullah, it doesn't happen to anyone, obviously, but here you're driving, and you have, like, a two-second time period before you know you're about to crash into something, like, head first, like, with a truck or something, and the last words I hear out are, like, oh, and then the F word.
Yeah. No, do you know
versus, something? Like, either no words or something else.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know, like,
yeah, to me. If your instinct is, like, saying a cuss word,
yeah,
that is what's going to be your last word. But if your instinct becomes, like, astaghfirullah when something bad happens, at least you'll get like the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, and if you don't get anything out, that's fine too.
Yeah, that's fine too. No, it's something crazy I saw on TikTok. It's kind of sad, but like I'm gonna kind of leeway off the car crash. There was this one mom, like her son got in a car crash and died, and then she was like, she got into the car, like I don't know why she recorded this, but like she got in the car, turned it on, and he was listening to like Quran.
Oh, subhanallah.
And she started like,
bro, start crying. I just got goosebumps.
I'm about to like start crying too, but she started like bawling tears, and she's like, Alhamdulillah, 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 and she was saying like how he used to listen to music and everything. Like the last thing he listened to was Quran. So like, that's crazy,
dude. That's mind blowing.
Yeah, because if like, I don't know, if you were like, if you think about every single day we drive and every single day we're in a car, and like you have such a high, not a high chance, but like it's.
Car crashes happen every day.
Car crashes happen so often.
The statistics of it is nuts.
And if you are like always listening to music in the car, it's like kind of a risky game you're playing. Because like if something like bad happens, astaghfirullah, bi'id al-shar, like I hope no one ever gets in a car crash. Yeah. But it happens. And if that's something like that's the last thing, like imagine like someone coming, like the EMT's coming and there's music playing in your car.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's kind of a very, very scary thought. But that's something that we have to keep in mind about sometimes, because the scary things are what kind of draw keep us in check sometimes. So yeah,
it's a mix of the scary parts and the loving parts, you know.
Yeah,
I guess it's both of those.
And I think about music as well. Funny thing is, like one of my like roommates, he's non-Muslim by the way. He like loves music. He's a very big music guy. And he's always wearing his headphones around the house, everything. And then he bought these headphones that he can wear when he goes to sleep. So he listens to music like while he's sleeping.
Oh, man.
And like I was just thinking about it the other day. I was like, he like listens to music like literally every single waking hour of the day pretty much at this point. And I was like the music that we're listening to isn't like positive music in a sense. A lot of it, or at least the music that he listens to, lot of it is about like,
if you look at like all of hip-hop, all of rap, like you cannot find me that like you can maybe find a handful of songs, literally, like if you wrote them on a piece of paper, you find enough paper to like fill my head, and that's it. Those are the ones that are dealing with, without saying cuss words, without objectifying women, without talking about topics of like violence, without any kind of speech that's negative. It's like a handful.
And like, for example, in the Quran, in Surah Isra, it says, لا تقربوا الزنا. Do not come close to zina. Okay?
Zina of the eyes, zina of the ears.
Zina. So if you're listening to music, like, always, that's talking about, like, zina.
That is zina.
You, like, I'm not, like you're putting yourself in a way that's, like, not entertaining that thought, obviously. Right. It's not that big of a deal.
You'd be more primed to, it might be most acceptable.
Yeah, if you're listening to music like 16 hours a day that's talking about zina, it'll become a little like kind of normal in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you, let's say you're scrolling on Instagram and you see something you're not supposed to be seeing, mm-hmm. but you're like always listening to music about
that exact thing that
girls
you're seeing.
Or like yeah. stuff like that, it'll be a little more normal in your yeah. head when you see it. But if you're, let's say you had just listened to the Quran and something pops up on your feed and you're like literally you're listening, like something pops up on your feed of the Quran, like right before, and then you see that, you're astaghfirullah, you yeah. scroll away.
Yeah.
But if like something before comes up about a song about Zin or girls or something like that, and then you see a girl out right after, the song was just talking about that, it'll be yeah. like, you're not remembering all spontaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but that whole conversation comes back to like also the cuss words. Like, so like in my research lab, we research the brain, right? And we research baselines and research activity in the brain depending on certain activities. And the same article that I told you about with the curse languages, like bad words, right? Or like even make music to some degree. Like what these things do is when you curse, for example, you raise your baseline of language dopamine effect. Mm-hmm. So like if you use more curse language or you use curse words and they make you feel good, you essentially spike your dopamine mm-hmm. in that go. Which is why people, when they start using curse words, they increasingly use more and more.
Yeah.
Like they increasingly use harder and harder words as well.
Yeah.
Right? And it's because like you, your baseline gets to a certain point and then you want to go to the next one and the next one. Yeah. Right? Because every time you feel a little bit better. If something becomes normalized, then it doesn't feel that great.
Yeah.
But the danger of that is essentially, you know, if your baseline gets too high, then the next step is going to be crazy. For example, the Zina thing, right?
Yeah.
If you're listening to music all the time, yeah. you're more susceptible to taking steps. And because like in Zina, there's different levels of Zina yeah. as well, right?
Yeah.
It's not just the actual sexual act of Zina, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's multiple steps before that. And if you're going down that route, you're going to increase a little bit every time.
Yeah.
But if you keep your baseline low, you know, cut out the music, you cut out following things you shouldn't be on social media,
yeah.
then, you know, even for us, like we were talking about this the other day, it's graduation right now at USC.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have surrounded ourselves with a really good group of Muslims, and we're like very active in our Muslim communities.
Alhamdulillah,
yeah. Alhamdulillah for that, right? And we have certain, I don't want to obviously say anything incorrect here, but we have certain ways that we dress, for example,
yeah.
like the men and the women. And I hung out in these Muslim communities so much this last year that when the graduation is happening and I haven't like seen these people, like other people, like in so long, and I'm yeah. going to these grad like events of like
yeah.
the walking ceremonies and everything.
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting there and I'm like, whoa, like I forgot how people dressed.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, because I removed myself so far
yeah.
from like even looking at that kind of stuff, yeah. even online, right? Like not following any of those accounts.
Yeah.
That it shocks me now as to like the degree of like,
yeah, it's just because it's basically what you make normal in your head,
normalizing your baseline. Yeah. yeah.
And like, if we can use all the topics we just talked about, if music, cussing, mm-hmm. looking, stuff like that,
using foul language, using harsh language,
if it is something that you normally do or incorporate in your life, it'll seem like something normal.
Yeah.
But as soon as you cut it out and you stop doing it, it'll feel weird every time you see it or yeah. every time you listen to it, every time like
it goes with, capitalism too.
Yeah.
If you keep buying more and more things and having more and more, you're always gonna
yeah.
keep
like if you around. Buy like a ton of cars, like a lot of these rich people, when they buy like a ton of cars, they start becoming more normal to them.
Yeah.
yeah. And that's with everything in this dunya. Yeah. Anything in this dunya that you incorporate a lot into your life, it's gonna become normal.
Yeah.
And you want more whether if it's good or bad.
Mm.
If you start incorporating salah, like even like good use of words,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna become normal.
Normal.
Yeah.
If you want more of that too,
yeah.
so you take the next step.
And it's also when you begin something new or you begin doing something either wrong or good, it's going to feel different. It's going to feel off. But as soon as you start doing it, it's going to feel more normal. That whether if it's good or bad.
Yeah. That's why we need our whole morality code.
Yeah.
That's why we need the Quran to tell us what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
Because in that, like you're saying, it's going to be true for things that are good and things that are
yeah.
bad.
Yeah. I'm going to go off like the salah, like, let's say like you're not praying as much and then you start wanting to work on salah and you want to get your 5 daily prayers down. Let's say you're getting 2 prayers a day and like mashallah, you want to jump up to 5 and you start doing 5 a day. It's going to feel weird at first because you're starting something new. But once you start doing it every day and you're pushing yourself, it's going to become habit. It's going
to
become normal.
You'll feel weird going to bed without praying Isha.
Yeah.
That's
it's gonna feel yeah. weird. And that's the same thing with music and the same thing with foul language. Let's say if you stop using foul language and then like something slips out. No one's perfect. Like sometimes something yeah. slips out, you're gonna feel weird because you don't use it anymore.
Yeah.
It's gonna be like, oh, like I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. I feel like normality and that's also important who you surround yourself with.
Mm.
Because if you surround yourself with people that are constantly using these things or doing these wrong things, it's going to feel more normal because you're seeing it every day, mm-hmm. or you're seeing it every other day or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you're barely seeing it, you're barely surrounding yourself with people that are like that, again, it'll feel weird. So
yeah. I feel like actionably the best thing for students for all of these topics, like for the like language, for music. I mean, music kind of jumped in there at the end, but like all that stuff is put yourself in the right situations. Mm-hmm. So not just friends, but the right situations. So even if you don't have like a Muslim community, because some people might not have a Muslim community available yeah. to them, right? Even if you don't have them, purposely make an effort to find the kind of people and situations that might drive you in the better direction.
Yeah.
Like with the certain like language use. You don't have to be like best friends with them. You don't have to adopt their, like have another friend. He went to a Christian school. He was Muslim. Mm-hmm. I didn't know him until after like he graduated and now he's in college. But when he was in that Christian school in high school, he said they still didn't cuss. Mm. Like these kids were like, there are a lot of kids there who were like pretty much on their like dean, I guess, Christian dean. Mm-hmm. But he still would prefer to hang out with those people than he would who would use that language, even though they weren't Muslim.
Yeah.
So like, if you don't have a Muslim community around you, surround yourself with just by the people who generally understand.
Yeah, surround yourself with the people who are morally good or follow the morals of Islam.
If you don't have Muslims, yeah.
Yeah, if you don't have Muslims. Yeah. Because I have like a experience with not having a Muslim community, and I think I handled it kind of poorly.
Oh, I did terrible.
Because I handled it like awfully. But if I could go back now, the one thing I would try to do is surround myself with the people who didn't.
I would surround myself with the boring, non-popular kids.
Yeah.
Honestly, like that was my problem.
That's honestly who it is, because, I mean, some of them are like also kind of on that 100%, wrong path 100%. As well, but like. Surround yourself with people who aren't the ones who stand out in terms of like the haram stuff.
The haram stuff.
Yeah. Like don't like for me, for example, cause in high school I was like the loser.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was the absolute loser kid that no one, and like these kids would be talking about parties and like, and it sounded so cool and I'm like, well, but like,
dude, it's not a flex that you're pulling. It's not a flex
that you're going to parties, and it doesn't. At the end of the day, like, what, you're gonna go to the party and you're gonna go home, and what did you get out of it? Absolutely nothing. Yeah, but if you're surrounded with yourself with people, even if they're not Muslim, and you guys do something productive, let's say you guys go out and
hit the gym
or something.
Yeah,
like
even get food to eat and have a conversation about the politics of the U.S. Right. The political and economic welfare of the
United States. Boris Jaden Smith.
No, not that guy, though.
No, just kidding.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, something that's, like, not haram.
Productive, yeah.
Yeah, productive.
Like, go to find someone that, if you guys like fishing, go fish. If you got, like, someone that goes to the gym, go to the gym.
Yeah.
But, like, surround yourself with people who are productive if you don't have a Muslim community.
Yeah.
Because if you surround yourself with people who are centric on just dunya things like parties or girls or going out or something
vaping,
like that.
Smoking, drinking,
all those things. All the haram stuff, pretty much. Because that's in high school, the people who are doing that seem like the people that are cool because they're like older or like they get more attention from
that's what's normalized.
People. Yeah, it's what's normalized.
All right.
But I think if like, literally my biggest thing I wish I could have done is surround myself with people who are productive.
I agree.
It's very hard to find those people. Yeah, I'm not saying they're like they stand out, but if you find someone like that, stick,
but
like,
it's in everyone.
Yeah.
Even if you don't find someone like that, I promise you, like everyone has multiple sides to them.
Yeah.
I bet there's a lot of kids who like hikes.
Mm-hmm.
Just start talking to people and be like, hey, do you want to go on a hike? Go on hikes routinely weekly and invite people weekly to go on a hike. Right? Yeah. Like that is going to be better than going on a weekend and going to a party.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And then this is like, let's say like you literally can't find anyone.
Yeah.
And everyone in your whole community is someone that parties.
Okay.
Okay, let's put this situation.
Okay, worst case scenario. Yeah.
Worst case scenario, like everyone parties, like at least find someone who would be willing to do something productive.
Mm.
Like let's say they go party on Friday night, but be like, hey man, like Saturday evening, let's go do a hike. Like right, how you said, do something productive with them. Don't engage in what they do. Like let's say they invite you. It's like you go hike on Saturday, and like Saturday night, hey dude, we're about to go party. You want to come with us?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm good.
Yeah,
but like you still engage and interact with them in the things that are productive. So you choose the situation that you put yourself in. It's very hard to turn yourself down, or turn down those types of things because it'll feels like if you go to those things, it'll allow you to form a closer connection with those people.
Yeah,
but if you're thinking long term, like let's say after high school, are you really gonna be like friends with that person forever?
No,
you're not.
100%.
So, yeah, I think that's something that an advice I wish I had in high school.
Yeah, I do wish I had that advice too.
Yeah.
I wish someone had actually told me that, but
yeah.
It's just way too normalized to be part of those crowds.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
And wanting that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think we'll wrap it up there.
Yeah.
But good conversation.
Good conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I don't know. Conclusion-wise, I just want to say, like, don't give up. Like, this is one of those real true things where it's, like, literally don't give up.
And then this one, this is, like, this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Does
it happen overnight?
You're not going to be able to change it overnight. Because whenever I was trying to incorporate better speech into my vocabulary, I was trying very hard, but it was also very hard to do. Like, every single day I was slipping up. Every single day I caught myself, and it was a long process.
Mm.
It took me, like, a good amount of time before I was able to, like, fully stop it or become conscious of it, because it had become so normal.
Right.
And I think something that, like, for example, in Ramadan, we're supposed to stay away from cuss words and everything when you're fasting, and that's a very good way to, like, become conscious of it. And so you got to have a kind of a similar mindset.
Yeah. The whole thing about, like, if you do a habit for, like, 2-3 weeks, something, it becomes certified.
Yeah.
Ramadan is an entire month. That's, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
If you truly can just stick to, like, every, like, Ramadan, trying to revamp that, or the Ramadan coming up, like, you allow yourself to develop new habits and get away from the old ones. Yeah. Like, you just have to do it for if you do it for 4 weeks, or according to science, 2-3 weeks, whatever they want to say, the thing is, it becomes less effort to then do it continuously after that.
This is for any, like, addictions or any bad habits that you have. If you're consciously trying to stop it and you fall back on it and you do it and you slip up, don't think it's the end, or don't think that khalas, like, don't think that, like, if you messed up, that's it. Like, I'm back at square one.
Yeah.
You're not. Like,
you're not.
Let's say you've been trying for a whole week to, like, stop this one thing and you slip up. You're not back at square one. You've been trying for a whole week now.
Yeah.
Let's say you were doing this every single day or every other day or something, and then you went a whole week. That's so much progress in itself. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something, that's what the shaitan wants you to think. Like, if you mess up once, it wants to be like, oh, like, you're back at square one now.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not.
Especially if you make tawbah.
Yeah.
And you, like, repent.
Yeah. Just,
like, you start.
Just keep going. Keep trying. Be conscious of it. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And then at the end, once you get there, once you, inshallah, get over that, whatever it is, you're going to feel so happy looking back at it. It's like, oh, like, I actually got over this. Like, I stopped doing this. I'm conscious about it now. And it's very rewarding. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yep.
Okay. We will see you on the next episode, inshallah. Yeah. Dude, I'm so glad you're here as a co-host now. It's going to be fun.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.